Amen. If you love the Lord, blow your horn. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm telling you, that's a testimony. Everybody up and down the highway can hear you. Amen. What a blessing. It's a joy to see you here. I believe we've got as many as we had on Easter Sunday. And I thank the Lord for you being here. This is kind of a unique situation for me. For the last 20 years, I don't think I've actually preached on Mother's Day. You've had opportunity to share your testimony about your mother, and God's moved in those services. I believe we were biblical in that because the Word of God said even one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother. And out of one day out of the year at the house of God, it's good to honor our mothers and thank God for their influence on our life and everything else. And thank you for those who came to pray earlier in the week on Tuesday. We had prayer in the morning and in the evening. We had good turnout, both services. And then again for the National Day of Prayer on Thursday night at 6:30, we had a great turnout. And I want you to continue to pray. We're seeking God for revival. I'm so anxious. I'm sitting here this morning, you out there, and us under the shelter, and a great big old auditorium inside. I was thinking we might ought to change the name of our church temporarily, just temporarily, to the ABC. Our North Church in the area is called the Three C's. We're going to be the ABC, A Baptist Church, because ABC stores are open. And it's essential. And so, blow your horn. Amen. Praise God. Well, very soon now, we'll be inside and be able to worship the Lord inside. It's going to be a real blessing again. I didn't get all the way through to say Happy Mother's Day to our mothers who are here. We are blessed that you're here. Of course, we're doing things a little differently this year because of that. We usually recognize specific mothers and with the most children and the age and so on. But we're not able to do that this year. But when you leave this morning, we're going to go right out. Brother Tim and all those who've helped us park, we'll get you directed. We'll go right around the canopy like we did on Easter. And we have your special gift around there for all the mothers as you go exit this morning. So thank you for being here. We're just blessed that you are here. And we're looking forward to some great days ahead. Now, one of the so many sadnesses, not even just people having the virus and those tragic deaths that may have occurred, but it is the I guess you'd say, the collateral damage. One of those is our graduating seniors in college and those who are graduating at different levels of education. Our Bible Institute, we were so looking forward to recognizing our graduates. But on the first Sunday in June, now I don't know exactly how we'll do it, whether we can be inside or whether we'll be outside, but we're going to recognize our seniors. We've got a special surprise for all of our seniors. We'd like to ask you, some of you don't even have cap and gowns because they didn't issue them this time. But if you do have one, you're welcome to wear that. But we're going to recognize our seniors and graduates on that day. And so if you are graduating, you have a loved one graduating, please have them to come. And we'll have them to come right down front. We'll recognize them, have a special gift for them. And so the first Sunday in June is going to be our graduate Sunday. And we're going to celebrate with you and all of your accomplishments. And many I've seen posted on Facebook. Let me just say, if you're here or you have a loved one who's graduated, then we're so very, very proud of you and thank the Lord for you and for your hard work and for your continued education and or into your career that you begin now. We thank the Lord for you doing that. And so we hope you'll look forward to being back with us again. Now, I was thinking, I was talking to somebody over in this area. We can be outside. We can have a group. We can gather outside. We don't necessarily even have to be in our cars. And we can gather outside, as I'm assuming, as many as we want to, long we have social distances. You know, something about that that sounds unusual to me, social distancing. Social looks like you'd get together, you know. But at any rate, I thought it would be great if somewhere along the line when we have a Sunday, and we'll just announce it way ahead of time, that we have a tailgate Sunday. And we're going to have literally dinner on the grounds, get you to bring your meal with you, go by the Bojangles or whatever, or bring it from home. And we'll try to get set up where we won't be interacting. We'll have to keep social distance, but just have an old-fashioned service outside and then have dinner on the grounds and just fellowship together for a little bit, as much as we can, social distancing. But we're looking forward to what God's got planned. God's got great things in store for us. Mother's Day is a unique time. And like I said, it's kind of unusual for me to preach on Mother's Day because after so many years we've honored our mothers. But I want you to turn with me this morning to two passages of Scripture, one in the Gospel of Luke. Find Luke chapter 1. And then once you have that, turn over to the book of Acts chapter 1. And I want to read this passage of Scripture. As you find the book of Luke in your Bible or on your tablet or iPhone or whatever you got with you this morning, in the latter part of this chapter is the birth announcement of our Lord. The angel appears to Mary, tells her that she's been chosen by God. She's experienced the grace of God that she might be the mother of Messiah, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost of God would overshadow her. He had no earthly father. God in heaven was his father, and she was a virgin, and Jesus Christ was virgin born of a virgin. And in that discussion that they have, and he says that you're going to bear a child, be the Messiah, and she said, how can that be? I've never known a man. And he said, the Holy Ghost of God's going to overshadow you. And then a wonderful statement's made in this passage of Scripture, and it is in this passage of Scripture, down in verse number 37, and it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And thank God that with him nothing is impossible. Now, she's received that announcement. And here's her response in verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. God had sent her a message, and her surrender was not to that angel, but to the Lord himself. And when she is announcing that, she's saying not only just to that angel, but to God himself, I want to do your will. I want to yield to your perfect will for my life. Then when you go over to my text that I want to read here in verse number 46 in this passage of Scripture, chapter 1 of Luke, we have what's called the Magnificat. It is what her response. She's come to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who's going to be the mother of John the Baptist. And as she approaches Elizabeth, the Bible says that Elizabeth responds in this way, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mary was the mother of the Lord. Isn't that an amazing statement? The Messiah, God incarnate human flesh, would come through this dear woman's womb. She was just a regular woman, but God chose her to be the bearer of this precious seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary's response to that was a cry out to God. She's saying it in front of Elizabeth, but it's her cry to the Lord. And Mary said, verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from hence all generations shall call me blessed. And he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud with his imagination of his hearts, in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and rich hath he sent empty away. He opened his servant Israel and remembered his mercy. And he spake unto our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. She magnifies the Lord in response to this great thing that was going to happen to her, that she's the chosen vessel. She gives God the glory. And she magnifies the Lord. And what a lesson you and I should learn about what God does for us and how God blesses us. I magnify the Lord and give him all the glory. Now turn over to the book of Acts chapter 1, and I'll read just a verse there. What's happening now is Pentecost. They've gathered together at the Lord's command. He's ascended back to heaven. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. And so they've gathered there in that upper room. And notice what the Word of God says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you for your mercy and grace. And I thank you, our Father, for Mother's Day. Our Father, I want to thank you for my mother. Thank you, our Father, for my precious wife, the mother of our children. And Lord, for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the many mothers who are here present today at the house of God. And for the many more who are watching on the internet or listening on the radio. Our Father, I pray you'd bless them on this special day when we honor our mothers. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would bless this time together. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our emphasis all this month is on prayer. In the beginning, I read to you Luke chapter 1. And Mary's response, Elizabeth says to her, "You're the mother of our Lord." And she magnifies the Lord. She gives him glory. My dear friend, in that prayer, she's praising him for his goodness. The Bible said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and giving of thanks, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your mind and heart through Christ Jesus our Lord." My dear friend, our prayer ought to always be the burden of our heart, but to give God the glory for everything he's done. And when we recognize that with God, nothing is impossible, he'll give us that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then after the Lord Jesus Christ has grown to manhood, and when he has announced his ministry and the Holy Ghost of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He went into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days of Satan, and he came out to begin his public ministry. And in 3 years, he accomplished more and did more and is reported and has changed lives more than anything ever has happened in all of history. The Lord Jesus Christ came in a human body to suffer and to bleed and die. And he came to give his life for ransom. And at that time, after he was crucified, buried, and rose again, he talked with the disciples, told them to meet there in that upper room and pray for power. And now we see Mary, she's no longer cradling her child in Bethlehem. She's no longer feeding and nourishing and clothing him as a child. She's no longer guiding and praying with him and praying for him as a teenager. She's no longer now following him around as one of his disciples when he has proclaimed himself and showed himself to be God. She's no longer kneeling by the cross and praying and weeping as her son is dying. But in Acts chapter 2, you see her gathered with the disciples and praying. She has a unique place in history. She prayed for her son and she prayed to her son in the passage of scripture I've just read to you. And my dear friend, you go through the Bible and look at the prayers of different women. In the Old Testament, Miriam, the sister of Moses, when God miraculously delivered them out and brought them across the Red Sea, they sang and Moses sang a song of deliverance. And then Miriam broke in and she began to pray in song to the Lord. And she gave him glory for victory and for all that he had done. My dear friend, your prayer life ought to be one that would give God the glory for every victory you've ever seen. You and I have had some tough time. We've all had rough time, but God's been with us all the way and he's brought us all the way through. And so from Miriam, we would learn to give him glory for all his accomplishments. And then there's another lady in the Bible that I read about quite often when we do a dedication of children. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was barren, had no children, and she prayed earnestly that God might give her a child. And she said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And she kept her word, and she obeyed God. She wept and praised God. God answered her prayer, and she kept her deal with God. And my dear friend, whatever God gives us, understand it's his entirely all the time. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that you and I claim, the land that your home sits on, the home that you have, and everything God's ever entrusted to you really belongs to him. And in our prayer life, we ought to recognize the fact that he's the giver of all things. Esther in the Old Testament prayed, a dear mother who prayed, and her whole nation was in jeopardy. They were going to be destroyed by a wicked man by the name of Haman. And God miraculously intervened. And when Mordecai came to her and said, "You've got to go in before the king and tell him what's going on and plead for your country, for Israel." She said, "I'll do that, but you must pray, and I and the maidens will pray and fast as well." And Esther prayed that God would invade, that God, by his divine providence, would deliver in a time of great peril and impending death. My dear friend, how many times has your mother prayed for you? How many times would you have never made it back home in your teen years, driving up and down the highway, if God had not burdened your mom to pray for you? They've prayed us through sickness. They've prayed us through heartache. They've prayed us through tragedy and all that's going on in our life. Thank God for praying mothers. In the Old Testament, Hagar, in Genesis chapter 16, was isolated or sent away from the house of Moses. She goes out with the son that God had given to her, the seed of also of Moses. And she lays that child off, Abraham, and laid this child off under a bush. And she said, "I'll not watch him die." And she goes off to the side and she prays. And God miraculously answers her prayer. And he says to her, "I've heard your prayer." And God answered that. And God, in that time of dire need, came to her defense. From the lesson of prayer from Hagar, we learn that when there's nobody else to help us, nobody else to stand with us, when we're in a wilderness place right by ourselves, God hears us. I want you to know, my dear friend, that wherever you are, in your quarantine, in your home, your stay-at-home business, through all this time since the middle of March, God has heard every word you've said. He's heard every prayer you've prayed. He's been with you the whole time, and he'll continue to do that. My dear friend Deborah, a dear lady in the Old Testament, prayed in the book of Judges. God, by divine intervention, had also given her leadership of the nation of Israel for a brief time as a judge. And she prayed before a great battle in Judges chapter 5 that God would take over. "The battle's not mine, it belongs to the Lord," was the testimony of others in the Old Testament. And her prayer life was this: that God is the one who wins every victory. God's the one who comes over every enemy. God's the one who can defend me and protect me against those that are outnumber me and that are greater than I am. But nobody's as great as God is, and he's able to take care of me and all of Israel. My dear friend, these precious ladies prayed through the Old Testament. But the unique prayers of the New Testament are that of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is as we look at these times when Mary prayed. I've thought about it for the last few days, about how as she traveled from her home to Bethlehem, every bump in the road, every pre-contraction or pain she may have had, I'm sure she was praying to the God of heaven. She knew what was going on, but God was with her and she sought him. I wonder that night when the angels testified and said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men." I wonder how her heart overflowed. Joe Berry sings that wonderful song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Oh, listen, I don't know all that she knew, but she knew God had entrusted to her a great treasure. And the Bible said children are a heritage from the Lord. And just as surely as God gave Jesus to her, he gave you your children. And I want to say, as a pastor for 52 years and having been here 23 and going on 24 years, I've watched you. You are good and godly ladies. And I want to thank you for your influence in the church and on your family and over your children. We love them. They are God's treasure entrusted to us. They are a heritage from the Lord. And God gave her miraculously this son, Jesus. And I believe in that day of his birth, she rejoiced in her soul. He was God incarnate in human flesh. But at that moment, He was the fruit of her womb. He was her precious little baby. And the travail of birth was over. And now the joy overflowed her soul that a child had come. I can only imagine how she must have prayed through his days as he was an infant, and praying for him and clothing him and bathing him and protecting him. Just as you prayed over your children, she prayed over Jesus. And as he became a teenager and a young person, all the activities of life, as he learned the trade of Joseph, his earthly father, I know she prayed and she looked to God. I'd love to have been around that table some night after she's prepared a meal and they sit down together to eat, to hear them ask the blessing at the house of God, at their house, and asking God to bless and what God's done. All those things are human experiences, but she was praying for him all the way through. Somebody in the drama last year or sometime had sung that song that he was still her child. Through every occasion of his life, he was still her child. When he came out of the wilderness, began to minister and preach, she followed behind him, and she identified that he could do anything. You remember how at that first miracle he did, changing the water to the wine? Of all the great crowd there gathered that wedding, when they ran out of wine, she went to her son, Jesus, who was God incarnate in human flesh, and told him the problem. And you know what he did? He changed the water to wine. My dear friend, listen, God can meet every need you've got. But she, at that moment, as she goes through time, begins to see he's not only my child, but he's God's child, and he's given to this world. I think she knew in her heart, through all his life, you sense sometime that God's going to use your children in unique, special ways. She knew from the very beginning what was going to happen to him. She knew from the very beginning the days that she would face, the days of sorrow. I can only imagine the night after Calvary when he's in the tomb and she's a brokenhearted mother. I'm sure she's praying. She's talking to God the Father and she's saying, God, I know this is your will, but I'm human and it hurts me so to know that my son was treated like he was. I know he's your son. I know he's the Savior, but he was my child. He's my son. And I've carried him in my womb, and I've nursed him as a child, and I've loved him and fed him and dressed him and taken care of him. And my heart could hardly stand it. It feels as if it'll burst right now to know that he's laying yonder in a grave somewhere. Oh, my dear friend, what kind of praying must that mother have done that night? And then the Bible says that on the morning of the third day, he arose, and he's alive forevermore. Oh, listen, she had a chance to see him with a gathered assembly of the believers and rejoicing in that. I remember she must have prayed and thought about his tender words to her and to John on that cross when he said, behold thy mother and behold thy son. Mama, I can't take care of you any longer, but John will take care of you humanly. I'll take care of you spiritually, but I've got to die. I'm going to be separated from you for a while. And so that dear mother prayed and sought God. I don't understand all of prayer life. I just can only imagine. But I can say this to you. There's three or four little things I want to just kind of draw from these women in the Bible. Some I've already mentioned. But I want to summarize our thoughts by this. Our mothers have prayed for our birth. Most mothers, they've prayed and asked God to bless the children. They sought God's will and God blessed and they became pregnant. They prayed for you and prayed for your birth. Just as you pray for one another and you know someone's expecting, you pray for them. I'm glad our mothers prayed for our birth. I want to challenge you mothers to pray not only for their earthly birth, but to pray for their spiritual birth. And I'm quite certain that everybody here in front of me today has done that and still doing that. And those in the internet audience who know the Lord and in the radio audience who know the Lord, you're praying for that. I'm praying that the virus will soon end. Those who have it will be well. Those families who've lost loved ones will be comforted. But there'll still be heartaches after this time. There'll be other diseases. There'll be other tragedies. And there's only one permanent cure for what's going on in this nation and in individual lives. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only should you pray for children in regard to their physical birth, but for their spiritual birth. And then you've prayed for your children for their blessing. I'm certain that Mary prayed for her son, knowing he was God's son. I don't doubt that she didn't pray day in and day out for her son, for the blessing of the Father to be upon him, that God would bless him. We pray for our children for their salvation, for their strength. We pray for them in sickness. We pray for them in sorrow. In all the struggles of their life, we pray for them. My dear friend, we learn that God, where in the world would any of us be had it not been for the prayers of our mother? I'm glad I had a praying mama who prayed for me. As far as I know, my daddy was never saved. I only know him going to church one time in all of his whole life. But I had a mother who read the Bible to me and who prayed for me and took me to Sunday school and church. And I've had ups and downs through life. But oh, where would I be today had not been for the prayers of my mother? And let my dear friend, you pray for your children, not only in their birth, but in their blessings, asking God to do that. And then in their battles, she watched Jesus, how it must have hurt her when they cursed him and would stone him and mocked him through his ministry. And all the times they would try to take him and trap him. I'm sure she prayed for him through all the battles. And then through that time of great suffering and agony, then the time of the trial and the persecution, she prayed for him and asked God the Father to help him and touch him and bless him. And listen, we pray for our children through their battles. But oh, listen, one of the greatest things I think about this morning I text a few of our mothers that I know their mothers have died recently, and they left this world, but they're not gone. They've left our presence, but they're in heaven. They're just as alive now as they've ever been. And so we pray not only for our children in their birth, and we pray for them in for their blessings and battles, but oh, we pray that one day we'll see them in a beautiful place called heaven. Oh, you think about it. You've got loved ones there. I remember when Mom died, I would call her every Sunday morning and before church. And for months after she died, I would walk through the kitchen and do a few things, and I'd reach over to grab the phone. For the first few Sundays, I actually picked it up before I realized what I was doing, and I'd hang it back up. And you think about them all the time. You'll never forget their blessings on you. But listen, I want to remind you of something. There's another day coming. There's a day of happiness and joy. Oh, what a time it'll be. I can't hardly wait to get all of you back inside the church. I can't hardly wait to have time when we can once again hug necks and rejoice in the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, there's a better day than that coming. It's when we get to be in heaven for all eternity. I've often thought when Jesus ascended back to the Father, and some years later, this precious woman who in Acts chapter 4 was praying that day for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And God no doubt empowered Mary on that day, just like he did the rest of them that were there. And for the rest of her life, she was a witness of her son, that he was the Son of God. But the time came when Mary died. Can you imagine what it was like when Mary, the mother of Jesus, left her earthly tabernacle and went into the very presence of God? My mother loved me, and she always was proud of me, I think. And I don't care how old I was, everywhere she went, she said, "This is my baby boy." And mother, whenever I graduated from different schools or whatever we did in churches, mom was so glad and I guess you'd say proud. But can you imagine what Mary felt having been in a stable and hold her precious gift from God, her own son, and watch him so abused and beaten and by mankind, and then to see him and him ascend out of her presence? Can you imagine what it was like for her when she stepped in glory and saw her baby boy of Bethlehem seated at the right hand of the Father, King of kings and Lord of lords? Oh, what a blessing it must have been. But my dear friend, this is not the end for you and your children. The greatest joy you can know is to know they're saved and that you'll get to be with them in heaven for all eternity. I want to beg you and plead with you, if you're in this place today, in the media audience, in any way, radio or internet, if you don't know the Lord, trust the Lord. Give Him your life. Give Him your heart. I want to thank God for godly mothers. And for those mothers who may not know the Lord, you cannot love your children properly. You cannot do what for them what needs to be done unless you know God. And I plead with you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and all those others who are with us as well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is prayer month. I want to just talk a little bit about women in the Bible who prayed this morning. I want to share this with you. Years ago, in camp meeting in old Mount Zion campground, Ponce de Leon, Florida, we had the privilege to get to know Brother Mays Jackson. He came year after year, and sometime he was in revival in churches in the area, and we'd spend time with him. Me and Regina spent a lot of time with him in meals and just sitting around talking. And I remember one night he was preaching. He's talking about praying, and he got talking about his mama, how much he loved his mama and how she walked with God. And then he told this story. He said in World War II, there was a young man who was involved in the army. They went in battle, and he said their battalion had been pinned down by a German machine gun pillbox. Troops had tried to cross an open field, and they were just cut down and died one after one. Okay, and then there would be some who would try to get out and get across to get to that German machine gunnist and try to kill him so they could get by. The whole battalion was pinned down. And he said, the captain got all the men together and said, "Men, we've lost too many men trying to get across to that, but we don't have any choice. We can't go back. The enemy's behind us. We've got to go forward, but we can't go forward until something happens here. I can't send anybody else out. But if somebody volunteered to go, right now to save the rest of this battalion, I'd thank you very much if you do that." That young man raised his hand, Brother Mays said, and said, "Sir, I'll go, but I'll go at 7 o'clock, not very long from now, just a few minutes from now, right at 7 I'll go." And he said, "That's unusual, son, but I'll grant your request if you're willing to go." At 7 o'clock, that man climbed out of the ditch he was hiding in and zigzagged across the field, and that machine gunner's firing a 50 caliber machine gun at him and missed him every time. He got close enough to pull a grenade from his belt and throw it into that pillbox and destroyed that machine gunnist and the weapon that was there. The troops shouted and came out and they gathered and they went on their way. The commander of that battalion called the young man aside and he said, "Son, why is it that you had to wait till 7 o'clock? And he said, "Sir, my mama loves God. She's prayed for me all my life. And she's told me that every day at a certain time, she's going to be praying for me to be safe. And it translated in our time zone to be 7 o'clock. And I knew if mama was praying for me, I could make it safe and I could accomplish my mission." My dear friend, can I say this to you? Your prayers have put a canopy around your children. And God, help us to pray one for another, that God would take care of us, to know that people are praying for us. This is our prayer month. We're believing God for revival. My dear friend, it starts at the home, praying for your family. Husbands praying for wife and children. Wife praying for children and husband and children praying for mom and dad. For churches praying one for another. My dear friend, God will hear and answer our prayer. Remember what the angel said to Mary, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Will you bow your heads this morning for prayer as we think about praying this month? And think about the prayers of Mary. What a unique situation. She prayed for him, but she also prayed to him. And God answered her prayer in both regards. God blessed him. God kept him, and God blessed her as she prayed to him. This morning, the wonderful privilege of prayer belongs to those who are saved, because the Bible said we have access through the rent veil of his flesh and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Billy, we're in bad shape. We need to pray. You can only have your prayers answered if you're a Christian. You need to pray and seek God's face. Turn from your sin. Trust him as your Savior. For those of you who are saved and all of us who are saved, our prayer life can be greatly hindered by prayer, by sin in our life. And so we ought to stay clean and get sin out that he might answer our prayer. And my dear friend, I pray this morning that not be a thing between you and your Savior. If you're not saved, I pray you'd get saved and trust the Lord. I hope the rest of this day you'll have opportunity, if your mother's still with you, to let her know how much you love her and appreciate her. And young people, I want to remind sometime boys and girls, and particularly when they get to be teenagers, they're not big huggers then. But I want you to be reminded today that God has given you a wonderful mother. And this is the day particularly you ought to make sure you hug her neck and tell her, I love you. I ask God, the Holy Ghost, to bless everybody here and those in the media audience. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all your blessings on me. Thank you for a godly mother. Thank you for my precious wife, and Lord, for being such a wonderful mother and grandmother to our family. And God, I pray your blessing on her today. And then, Lord, I pray, God, for all of our friends here gathered on the ground and those in the media audience, that God, the Holy Ghost, would bless them. Lord, I pray that you deal with us, that we, in fact, would be a praying church. God, I want to thank you that you've answered so many prayers of this group of people. I'm reminded every day that I'd not be here physically on at least two different occasions had it not been for the prayers of God's people. I am so thankful to you for healing me, but I'm so thankful that, God, you led your people, burdened your people to pray for me, not only here but across the country. God, I know the power of prayer. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Help us to pray believing. Help us to be like those dear ladies in the Old Testament, to pray to give you glory for every victory, to pray that you'd give us wisdom and power and direction in every difficulty of life, to understand that we may be in a wilderness by ourselves, but God still hears us. God, you'll hear and answer our prayer. Help us, our Father, to just continue to seek your face and pray and believe that you're able, God, to do great and mighty things. Now, God bless your people, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.